we're learning from Briti Shalom on page 86. It says Rosh Tov, good head. Oh, you want to get a good head, huh? Kol ze anachu lomdim bishvil la'avin u'lafnim. All this we're learning in order to understand and internalize. She'im adam rotze she'yeh lo moach kadosh. That if a man wants to have a holy brain, ha'avodah shelo yi al shivat hanerot. His work will be on the seven candles, openings of the face. Kamuva ba'zohar is brought in the Zohar Kadosh. Menalta da reisha. The head, the menorah is the head. The head is the menorah. Ha'menorah, dehainu, shivat ha'evarim ha'chushiyim shel ha'panim, the seven evarim, limbs, of senses in the face, that's the head of a man. That is the head. Menalta darisha. That is what he has in his head. Mamshich Rabbeinu mevayer kol prati pitcha panim. Rabbeinu continues to explain every detail in the openings of the face. Bema tzarich lishamer bo. What do you have to be careful for? Haynu. Shishmor et atzmo miyotzi sheker mipiv. Person has to watch himself not to say any lies from his mouth. We'll see what that means, lies. We'll see that we're all big liars all the time. Sorry. V'yeh lo yirat shamayim. The person has to have yirat shamayim, shu b'chinat chotem, which the aspect of a nose. Like it says in Yeshaya, b'chinat v'arichho b'yirat Hashem. V'yeh lo emunat chachamim. You should have emunat chachamim to listen what chachamim say, which is the aspect of the ears. B'chinat shma divrei chachamim. V'yatzim enav me'od b'ra, and close his eyes from seeing bad. Ki hen hen, These seven openings, ha'me'orim et shefa eloki lavo, causes this shefa eloki that we're talking about to come to a person. Ki ha'pe ve'achotem ve'ainayim ve'aoznayim tluim ba'moach, because the mouth, the nose, the eyes, and the ears depend on the brain. Ve'hen me'orim et ha'moach she'yeh b'chinat kedem b'chinat panim, and they could arise the brain when it becomes holy. Become kedem and panim, like we said, front. Front, we said, is fast knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that creates heat and excitement to Hashem. Now Rav Arush goes into a little bit more detail. Hadavar rishon sheRabbeinu poteach bo hu hapeh. The first thing Rabbeinu begins explaining is the mouth. Bekotev sheAdam yishmor atzom ve'yotzi dvar sheker. Rabbeinu writes, a person has to watch himself from saying any lies. Ichorad atamua? Right? It looks a little bit strange. Lama is kirak et ha-sheker? Why did Rabbeinu only mention sheker regarding mouth? Hale yesh dvarim nosafim shetzichim yizher mehem. There's other things that a person says he has to watch what he's saying, right? Lashon hara, rechilut, slandering, nibul peh, dirty speech. Dvarim beteilim, right? Nonsense. התשובה היא כמו שכתב במקום אחר, the answer is like you wrote somewhere else, שכל דיבור שהוא לא של אמת, any speech which is not of truth is called שקר. Yeah, if you're talking politics, you're talking lies. Why? Because it's שקר. If you're talking about the
baseball,
right, whatever, baseball, soccer, whatever you want, it's shekel, unless you have a purpose in doing that. You want to get the guy, you want to talk to him, Kiru, then you talk to him about politics, soccer, money, whatever you want, because that's just to get to him.
It's a
yeah, there's a purpose with it, it's not a shekel, but if someone, they say, what do you say about the elections, what came out, huh? What do you say? If it's for praising Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, they were successful out of the Haredim, Baruch Hashem. No, at least there's some purpose to it, to say Baruch Hashem. But stop it, don't matter. I think this is better. No, I think this is better. Or stuck at the stock, oh, the dollar went so low. What does it make a difference about now? I'm a stockbroker, what do I care? Right? It's also considered a lie. So we're all big liars, as we said. To close our mouth. לכן במושג שקר, we know this, the story from the Bettlers, right? The seven Bettlers. There was the silent Bettler. silent meddler that told him, not that I'm really silent, that anything doesn't have praise to Hashem, I don't say. We should all merit to be a silent meddler. Therefore, in this musag, you know, musag idea, a different word for musag.
Understanding?
No. Concept. This concept of shekel includes all the speeches which are not according to the way of emes. Kshadam shomer atzomem, then nikash deshavim. And when one guards himself from these, it's called that he's guarding his mouth. To be upset, to say upset words from your mouth, even if it's true. It's shekel. Hadavar Abba, the next thing Rabbeinu mentions is, yes, the avirat shamayim, which is fixing the nose. Shelo tiyeh lo yira mishum davar. How do you fix your yirat shamayim? You have to not fear from anything else. How do you fix your yirat shamayim? Not fear from anything else. Someone asked Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu says, a person has to get out of the yirat nifulot. All the fears that one has, from all kinds of things, he has to leave them. He has to fear only from Hashem. So, someone said to Rabbeinu, I want to go do Buddha along, Buddha at night in the forest, but I'm scared, I'm afraid. So, what should I do? He said, go many times. You go many times, and you leave all that. Yeah, and you realize Hashem is guarding you, Hashem is. Of course, it has to have emunat chachamim. Shishma dibra chachamim, to listen to the words of chachamim, which that, of course, is in the ears, part of the ears. Of course, also not to hear lashon hara; it's all part of it. Hadavar haba, and the last thing is yatzim enav merot bera. Shut your eyes from seeing bad. Uveze arbe merot aloi. And with this last one, a lot is dependent on. This is the most violent sense that a person has. Not your hands, your eyes. They're violent. And what one sight of a person, one seeing, is able to do to a person, nothing else could do it. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, טוב מראה עיניים מהלוך נפש שפירושו הוא שהרושם שיריית העין עושה על הלב, the impression that what the eye sees does on the heart, והנאה שיש לאדם מראיית הדבר האסור, and the pleasure that one has from seeing something which is forbidden for him, ביחד עם כל הדמיון שנבל הזה, together with all the imagination that escorts it, comes together with it, הוא הרבה יותר חזק מגוף המעשה, is much stronger from doing the aveira itself, hen mitzad haroshem al halev ve hen mitzad ha'ana, both from the impression it does in the heart and from the pleasure one has. Okay? Seeing a woman does more damage than being with a woman. More damage. Lema'aseh, ma she'ne'emar, יעצים עיניו מאוד ברע, פירושו, שלא יראה שום דבר מלבד השם בך נגדיו. למעשה, closing your eyes and seeing bad also means to only see Hashem. Anything, if you don't see Hashem, you're seeing bad. Right? If one has something in life and he sees it in a bad way, or he sees bad in someone, or this and that, he sees bad, so he doesn't see Hashem. And we have to do what the halacha says, the halacha says explicitly, Shulchan Aruch, Shiviti Hashem, you have to put Hashem in front of our eyes always. Kol sheken shelo yistakel advarim asurim. But most of that, you won't look at something which is stuff which are asur. Ta'afilu yistaklut stam shelo roet Hashem. And even stam just seeing, looking with it, not to see Hashem, ela da'astara, he sees the covering of what Hashem is. The kvar nigra ra, it's already called bad. Ve'tzarich lishmo atzo meira kazo. One has to guard himself from seeing bad. Meaning, not to see anything is bad. Nothing is bad. It's all good. Hashem is all good. Whatever happens from Hashem, everything is good. Emuna. And this is the word. And you bring up the candles. To light the candles and to purify them. Until he merits, the flame of the heart will be burning by itself. This is what caused the Shefa Eloki to come. Because the mouth and the nose and the eyes and the ears depend on the brain. And they cause the brain to be b'chinat kedem, b'chinat panim, this Shefa Eloki to come directly to the person, to heat up his heart, to burn towards Hashem. Seeing the tzaddik is higher than hearing his Torah. The eye is powerful. The eye is powerful. Let's guard that eye. Those eyes. So now we're going to do a little bit of the Shmosh Shapiro over here. Yeah, we'll merit to guard our eyes, guard our mouth, our nose, our cord, purify our brain. Avraham has a CD, it's called Moach Naki. This is from the CD. They have it in English also. Clean Mind or something, I don't know. Clear Mind. I advise everyone to get it from downstairs and listen to it.
To get what again?
It's a CD called Moach Naki. Yeah, I think this is in English also.
Yeah, I think I have it. It's called a Clean Brain, I think.
Clean brain, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot of translation of it. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel, remember Yaakov the Breslev. And his mother had a great shock. We'll read about the shock. I think we'll reach it today. Before Chodesh HaRachamim HaSlichot Tafresh Tzadik Gimel. When the month of Rachamim Elul came about, Tafresh Tzadik Gimel, 1923. Yeah. Kamo Shmuel got up and went for the first time in his life to Meron. First time in his life.
Is he present at this point?
Yeah.
Was he about 20 then?
20 years old.
Is he about 20?
He was 20 exactly.
20 years old.
Over there, he did the month of Elul near the Tzion of the Tana Eloki Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai, Torah and Tefillah. The fields of Meron and Tzfat, Neret, to have him as a guest in those nights, and the first hours of Yitbodedut that he ever had in Meron. He used to walk the long nights, long and sweet nights, the Altsot HaChaim. He used to go like a drunk, there's a phrase in Hebrew, shikol milo miyayin. He's drunk, but not from wine. And the Yarot Arei HaJarmak VaGalil LeNafsho Mayim Lokea. And those, the forests of the Galilee, and his heart, and his soul was yearning to Hashem. Those nights turned him into a happy man, spiritually. In Meron that year, Shmuel was explored to the set teachings of Rabbeinu and what best of people do. He made sure that it'll be completely hidden that he went to Meron. No one should know, because who went to Meron in those days? Only crazy best lovers. Not like today, everyone goes to Meron. Those days, no one went to Meron. Right? So he made sure in the house no one knows, in the yeshiva no one knows. He went somewhere, he doesn't know, told him to go in the back. The secret was which was revealed. as Rosh Hashanah got close, Shmuel came back home. It was clear to him that he can't keep the secret no longer that he got close to Breslov. Rosh Hashanah is Kawaii, because Rosh Hashanah is coming up. The big, right? The big day of Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu said, "My Nzach is Rosh Hashanah. My thing is Rosh Hashanah, right? Like, we go to Uman every year." And he knew he's gonna go. Then they couldn't go to Uman. It was communist time. But he knew he's gonna go to Meron. And if he goes to Meron, he's not home for Rosh Hashanah. They're gonna find out that he became a wrestler. Still, he tried to cover up that no one will know. And every Rosh Hashanah, he put a tzetel, a letter, and he wrote, "Don't worry, don't wait for the chag because I'm davening in Meron." And where did he put it? Under the cover of the chalat. And every Rosh Hashanah, he fled. Okay, and he figured that they'll make it right away. They make kiddush and they'll open the chalat and they'll see. Okay, but the family came and they said, "Oh, Shmuel, we'll wait for Shmuel." Shmuel said, "Come, we'll wait for him." So they didn't even know. And they start worrying, and they don't do. Look around the shul. Maybe he's so much in prayer. It's Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't know what's going on with him, right? They knew what Shmuel is, and they didn't know what to do, but they couldn't find him. So they start already getting really worried, and you know, there's Arabs around. Who knows what can happen? They went to one of the close neighbors. His name was Feibel Aftaikel, like my name a little bit, who used to help them out and give them money and food after the father died, Shmuel's father died. And he told him, "We don't know what to do. Shmuel, the hour is so late, but Shmuel's not around. But Feibel said this, he said, "I think I know where he went. I saw him roaming around my grandson of Yonah Level, so also the big rest of a chassid. I see him hanging around him for the past few months." He said, "He probably went to Meron. Don't worry. Go eat your meal." He got together with the Toita Chassidim. You know what Toita Chassidim? The dead Chassidim. That's what they used to call Rest of a Chassidim. Why? Because they didn't have a Rebbe. The Rebbe is dead. Chassid Shalom. The Rebbe is alive. And that's what they call it. The Rebbe is dead because the Rebbe was in his body. Chia Adonema. Yeah. When they came home and told them the Kiddush and they saw the letter and they knew, Shmuel, Shmuel, there's Shmuel. Ha'ilui, ha'muflag, the most biggest, incredible Ilui. The best of Talmid Yitzchayim, the best Talmid, Alubis Ozanen. And he saw him as going to be one of the next geniuses of the next generation. He fell rested. Do Kriya, no?
That's the mice of Leva Egel.
Who? The Leva Egel also.
It's the mice that he said Shiva his father.
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Yeah, that was my question. Would they sit Shiva?
No, that's not. When this fact got publicized in those days, everyone knew everything. It was very few people in Yerushalayim. Maybe 100,000, maybe less. Less, probably less. Yeah, less for sure. A few tens of thousands, maybe. 20,000 people. Are there anything here? Yerushalayim was happy. Yeah, Shmuel Shapira, the most special boy in Eretz Chaim, that everyone knew that he's going to be the greatest. Looked, and he got close to Toita Chassidim, the dead Chassidim. His transfer to Breslov made a lot of hearts sad in Yerushalayim. Why? Because then, afterwards, a few other people there, big in Eitz Chaim, came close to Breslov, like Rebbe Vilcheshin. Everyone knows Rebbe Vilcheshin. He was very, very, was a huge tzaddik, a holy, holy, holy person. You can't even imagine, read stories, you can't believe it. I'll just tell you a story, I mentioned his name, Rebbe Vilcheshin. He used to go every Erev Shabbos to the Kosel. Now, one week, the guy used to take him. It says that all the faces of all the tzaddikim are at the kosel on Erev Shabbos. It's good to go daven there. Yeah.
Started Thursday night?
No, Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos and Kabbalah Shabbos.
The morning?
No, Erev Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos.
Oh, Friday night.
Friday night. before the night, after Chatzos, before Shabbat, the hours before Shabbat. Kitzel used to go, someone's take him. And one time, the guy who takes him, the car is broke down. And he couldn't take him, so he took a taxi with him. In the meantime, he brought the car to the garage. The guy told him, listen, it will take a while till we fix it. Whatever, you know, fine. Take it with you, I don't need your car. Fine. I'll be with the garage guy, came to him, whatever it was. And, Matzai Shabbos, probably next week or something, whatever, he tells him, what's with new? He comes to his car and says, let's go with your car. The car doesn't work, you have to go to the fix it. So he goes, no, it's okay. And he sits inside and he says, keep a simcha tzeyu. Go out with joy. He's okay, no? And he goes, and the car drives. So he goes to the masach, he asks him, what's going on? He says, you fixed it already, right? He says, no, I didn't do anything. It was fixed. The story from the guy himself. It happened to him, he said the story. By the way, when Rabbi Velvel got close to Breslev, they sent a whole mishlachat. How do you say mishlachat?
Crew.
What?
A messenger. You sent like a...
It's a whole crew. A whole crew.
A posse.
Yeah. A what?
Slang.
Whatever. And there was big tzaddikim there, Shlomo Eisen, to the house of Nechemya Cheshen, the father of Velvel. In order to convince his son to leave Breslev and to do tshuva. Because they knew that the only thing that will cause him to come back to Judaism will be Kibud Av, his father commands him. He told him, they went three times, and every time he said, no, listen, okay, not now, I can't talk. At the end they caught him and said, listen, you have to, please, you have to tell him. Okay, I will. They were very happy.
Delegation.
Interrogation? Delegation, that's the mishlachat. Yeah, a few weeks passed and nothing happened. Azov was continuing in Breslev. And his fire is getting stronger and stronger, and other people are getting close. What's going to be? Mishlachat is draining in Breslev. So they went to his father to see what is going on. What? Azov is not doing what his father said. He went completely off. By the way, Chazanis, when someone asked him if I could learn Breslev stuff, my father's against me learning it. Chazanim says there's no kibud out there. You can learn Breslev. Even if father says not to, you're allowed to. So he told the Rebbe, I want you to write it. He told the Chazanim, I want you to write it for me. He said, I learn Breslev books. You haven't needed me to write it. Go. It's a famous story from the Chazanim. Not a Breslev book.
You're
sitting on Breslev
books?
Yeah.
Who is
this? Chazanim told someone. Chazanim. And also the Stipler. Stipler, when he was in Europe, he used to get a lot together with Breslev Chassidim there. He loved Breslev. And there was a famous that he has someone thinking of Koenig, and came with him or something. He saw the Kutei Tfilos on his table. He said, I don't think it was the Kutei Tfilos. He said, you're connected to Breslev? So he said, I can't.
Sachamir.
Oh, Sachamir was.
No, Sachamir.
He comes to him, he's connected to Breslev. No.
He's over here, he's in Breslev, long beard.
Probably know who he is by face.
Yeah, right.
Anyways.
He said that Sachamer was not so happy about Breslev. There was a number of Breslevers in
the yeshiva. That's right.
And so, but Shtitzer came, started coming close to Breslev. He wasn't so happy about it. But anyway, so once he went to the Stipler. And the Stipler used to not waste any time between people coming in and out. He would put his head in the book, the Sefer. So
he had the Kutei Tefilos.
Yitzhak Amir wanted to see what he was shagging in, and he saw you shagging in the Kutei Tefilos.
He asked me to use your Breslev. He said, I can't pass one day without this. He said, there's a difference between the day that I say Kutei Tefilos and the day that I don't say Kutei Tefilos. That's what he told him. So the Chemet told him, listen. They asked him, what? He doesn't listen to you? He said, listen, every time he comes to my house, and I said, now I'm going to tell him that he can't be restless. Right? He comes in, and he he brings such joy into the house that I can't say anything. I can't say a word. What am I going to say? Anyways. So, Rabbi Sazan Menta was also part of the sorrow that many people had. And this again goes to Breslov, because they had no idea where Breslov is. And he spoke about it many times, and he was sort of, he was giving eulogy of him, that the generation lost a Gaon Adol, you know, he became Breslov. He could have been one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim.
Yitzhak Amir also said something about Breslov. He said he had a Netivo, he set up a lot of yeshivas. And he said, when the Breslovers left the yeshiva, the madriga of the tefillah went down.
Some say that they heard Rabbi Sazaman say, I can't believe he said it, but some say, he brings it down here, said someone who brought him to Breslov, whoever was the one who got him to Breslov, he'll never leave the Gehenna. That's what he said, some said. So someone told this to Shmuel, he said, he's right, but he's never going to be in Gehenna. That's what Shmuel said. Anyways, years later, Rabbi Sazaman said that I thought that become Breslov before. I thought that he become Breslov and he won't be serving Hashem 16 hours a day like he was. And I was right. Now he serves Hashem 24 hours a day. Yeah.
I have a friend that he used to see on Shabbos. He has 10 boys. Shmuel Shapiro.
Shmuel, yeah.
Yeah. And he
three girls.
They would come in. Shabbos afternoon, and he said he would bring them out. Each one was learning a different Gemara. He would check them out. I had a Maggid Shear. He was and he ran into him at the Kosovo. He had a Kasher seven Gemara, I don't see it, I think it was. And he started. He just asked him, and he started running off. He showed him Achroni.
He knew it all.
He said, "I'm in the sukkah." And I don't know when he learned it, but he finished me off, and he knew it better than I do. And he knew better than me. But he was very humble.
Very. And no one knew.
He would never speak.
You met him?
Sure. He was a Sanhedrin from when I was a son.
Really?
And
he agreed to be a Sanhedrin?
No, he didn't agree.
You forced him.
No,
he said, "Levi Yitzchak to tell him."
Shimon Shapiro asked his son, "Says, do you have somebody for the son?" He said, "No, no, really, my father wasn't coming, and whatever." So he said to me, "He said my wife's family didn't agree." So maybe ask my father. So I asked him, and he said. No, he says, "Why do you need me? You know, why you ask
Where am I? What do you need from me?"
Yeah. So then I walked away. And you know what do I do? Who am I going to tell him?
So what happened at the end?
And so then Shimon asked me, he says, "What did he say to you?" He said, "I told him." I said, "He's not interested." He said, "Why me?" You know? So he says, "Go tell me you don't have anybody else." And so I went to him and says, "Go, you don't have anybody else."
Then he agreed.
What did you tell him? What?
He doesn't have anyone else.
I didn't have anybody else.
What language you spoke to?
I guess I spoke to him in English. I don't think he knew English.
He knew English.
He does it?
He says here that he learned English.
He learned English to go to get the green card.
No.
No?
He learned when he was a kid. The time the British took over here, the kids were learning English a little bit.
Ah, yeah.
He said he regretted it the whole life.
I didn't know. I was at his house. First time he went to a woman, he went twice.
Yeah, twice.
He made a sudas hoda.
But he came back. Really? Ah, look, we get some authentic stories here. Look at this. Come up every day. We're reading the book. Come up here. I'm excited to hear. In the munachim shalayim, in today's terms, when there's, how do you say, trains of planes, how do you say that? like traffic of planes going to Uman all the time, all year round, not only for Rosh Hashanah, right? And thousands of people are looking to Breslev, people were looking for Breslev and that stuff. We can't really comprehend, that's what I was telling you before, we can't comprehend the amount of lacking of understanding that caused such boost, such disgrace to what Breslev is. It's from lack of knowledge. They had no idea. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechtel told them, the guy who wrote the book, that when he was a kid, he was embarrassed that he's a Breslover. He was embarrassed. Yeah, he was embarrassed. They were Breslover. His father's a Breslover.
Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechtel had to grow a Breslover?
Yeah. His father's a Breslover. David Shechtel. I met a brother of Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechtel. He lives in Costa Rica. He's a sheikh, he's a mile. I don't know what he's doing there. No, he told me he has to press the books. He knows a lot about Breslov very well, his father's a Breslov. Top, the setup, we'll finish here. Yeah, the Russian will marry to guard our eyes, guard our mouth, our nose, and court, purify our brain. Avraham has a CD, it's called Moach Naki. This is from the CD. They have it in English also. Clean mind or something, I don't know. Clear mind. I advise everyone to get it from downstairs and listen to it.
To get what again?
It's a CD called Moach Naki. Yeah, also, I think this is in English also.
Yeah, I think I have it. It's called a clean brain, I think.
Clean brain, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot of shit. It's a translation of it. Okay. Rabbi Shmuel, remember, Yaakov was the Breslev. And his mother had a great shock, and we'll read about the shock. I think we'll reach it today. Before Chodesh HaRachamim V'Slichot Tafresh Tzadik Gimel, when the month of Rachamim Elul came about, Tafresh Tzadik Gimel, 1923. Yeah. Kamo b'Shmuel v'nasa l'rishona v'chaya Mirona. Shmuel got up and went for the first time in his life to Miron. First time in his life.
Is he Breslov at this point?
Yeah.
Was he around 20 now?
20 years old.
Is he around 20?
He was 20 exactly.
20 years old?
Over there, he did the month of Elul near the Tzion of the Tana Elokir of Shuba Yochai, Torah and Tefillah. The fields of Meron and Tzfat, Neret, to have him as a guest in those nights, and the first hours of Yitbodedut that he ever had in Meron. He used to walk the long nights, long and sweet nights, Ba'altzot HaChaim. He used to go like a drunk, there's a phrase in Hebrew, Shikol Milo Miyayin. He's drunk, but not from wine. In the Yarot Arei HaJarmak, VaGalil, LeNafsho Omayim Lokeah. In those, the forests of the Galilee, and his heart, and his soul was yearning to Hashem. Those nights turned him into a happy man, spiritually. In Meron that year, Shmuel was explored to the set teachings of Rabbeinu and what best of people do. He made sure that it'll be completely hidden that he went to Meron. No one should know, because who went to Meron in those days? Only crazy breast lovers. Not like today, everyone goes to Meron. Those days, no one went to Meron. Right? So he made sure in the house no one knows, in the yeshiva no one knows. He went somewhere, he doesn't know, told him he's going on the back. The secret was which was revealed. As Rosh Hashanah got close, Shmuel came back home. It was clear to him that he can't keep the secret no longer that he got close to Breslov. Rosh Hashanah is why? Because Rosh Hashanah is coming up. The big, right, the big day of Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu said, "My nizach is Rosh Hashanah. My thing is Rosh Hashanah." Right? Like we go to Uman every year. And he knew he's going to go. Then they couldn't go to Uman. It was communist time. But he knew he's going to go to Meron. And if he goes to Meron, he's not home for Rosh Hashanah. They're going to find out that he became a wrestler. Still, he tried to cover up that no one will know. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, he put a tzetzel, a letter, and he wrote, "Don't worry, don't wait for the chag, because I'm davening in Meron." And where did he put it? Under the cover of the chalas. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, he fled. Okay, and he figured that they'll make it right away, they make Kiddush, and they'll open the chalas and they'll see. Okay? But the family came and said, "Oh, Shmuel, we'll wait for Shmuel." Shmuel said, "Come, we'll wait for him." So they didn't even know. And he started worrying, and they don't do. Look around the shul. Maybe he's so much in prayer. It's Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't know what's going on with him, right? They knew Rosh Hashanah, and they didn't know what to do, but they couldn't find him. So they started already getting really worried. And you know, there's Arabs around. Who knows what could happen? They went to one of the close neighbors. His name was Fibel Aftaykel, like my name a little bit. Who used to help them out and give them money and food and after the father died, Shmuel's father died. And he told him, "We don't know what to do. Shmuel, the hour is so late, but Shmuel's not around. The Bible said this, he said, "I think I know where he went. I saw him roaming around my grandson of Yonah Level, who also was a big breast of a chassid. I see him hanging around him for the past few months." He said, "He probably went to Meron. Don't worry. Go eat your meal." He got together with the Toite Chassidim. You know what Toite Chassidim? The dead Chassidim. That's what they used to call Breslov Chassidim. Why? Because they didn't have a Rebbe. The Rebbe is dead. Chassid Shalom. The Rebbe is alive. And that's what they called him. The Rebbe is dead because the Rebbe was in his body. Chiyad Aneima. Yeah. When they came home and told them the Kiddush and they saw the letter. And they knew, "Shmuel, oh, Shmuel, there's Shmuel. Ha'ilui, ha'muflag, the most biggest, incredible Ilui. The best of Talmid Yitzchayim, the best Talmid, Alavis Azamen." And he saw him as going to be one of the next geniuses of the next generation. He fell impressed. He took Kriya, no?
That's the match of the middle age.
Who? Rolev Alegel also.
It's nice that he said
Shiva is
father.
I doubt it. I really doubt it.
Yeah, that was time. My question. Would they sit Shiva?
No, that's not. When this fact got publicized in those days, everyone knew everything. It was very few people in Yerushalayim. Maybe 100,000, maybe less. Less, probably less. Yeah, less for sure. A few tens of thousands, maybe. 20,000 people. Are there anything here? Yerushalayim was happy. Yeah, Shmuel Shapira, the most special boy in Eretz Chaim, that everyone knew that he's going to be the greatest. Looked and he got close to Toite Chassidim, the dead Chassidim. His transfer to Breslov made a lot of hearts sad in Yerushalayim. Why? Because then, afterwards, a few other people there, big in Eitz Chaim, came close to Breslov, like Rebbe Vilcheshin. Everyone knows Rebbe Vilcheshin. He was very, very, he was a huge tzaddik, huge tzaddik. He was a holy, holy, holy person. I can't even imagine these stories. You can't believe it. I'll just tell you a story. I mentioned his name, Rebbe Vilcheshin. He used to go every Erev Shabbos to the Kosel. Now, 1 week, The guy used to take him. It says that all the faces of all the tzaddikim are at the Kosel and their Shabbos. It's good to go daven there. Yeah.
Started Thursday night?
No, Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos and Kabbalah Shabbos.
The morning?
No, Erev Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos.
Oh, Friday night?
Friday night. Before the night. After Chatzos. Before Shabbos. The hours before Shabbos. Kitzel. He used to go. Someone used to take him. And one time, the guy who takes him, the car is broke down. And he couldn't take him, so he took a taxi with him. And can't sue him. And he, in the meantime, he brought the car to the garage. The guy told him, listen, it will take a while till we fix it. Whatever, you know, fine. Take it with you. I don't need your car. Fine. Or maybe the garage guy came to him, whatever it was. And Matzai Shabbos, probably next week or something, whatever, he tells him, what's with new? He comes to his car and says, let's go with your car. So the car doesn't work, you have to go to the fix it. So he goes, no, no, it's okay. And he sits inside and he says, keep a simcha tzeil. Go out with joy. He's okay, no? And he goes and the car drives. So he goes to the masach, he asks him, what's going on? He said, well, you fixed it already, right? He said, no, I didn't do anything. It was fixed. The story from the guy himself. It happened to him, said the story. By the way, when Rabbi Velvel got close to Breslev, they sent a whole mishlachat. How do you say mishlachat? What?
Messenger.
The whole crew,
a whole crew.
Right. A what? Whatever. And there was big tzaddikim there, Shlomo Eisen, the house of Nechemia Chesh, the father of Velvel, in order to convince his son to leave Breslev and to do tshuva. Because they knew that the only thing that will cause him to come back to Judaism will be Kibud Av, his father commands him. He told him, they went three times, and every time he said, no, listen, okay, not now, I can't talk. At the end, they caught him, he said, listen, you have to, please, you have to tell him. Okay, I will. They were very happy.
Delegation.
That's the Mishlachat. Yeah, a few weeks passed, and nothing happened. Azovah continuing in Breslev. And his fire is getting stronger and stronger, and other people are getting close. What's going to be? Yerushalayim is draining in Breslev. So they went to his father to see what is going on. What? Well, Velvel is not doing what his father said. He went completely off. By the way, Chazanis, when someone asked him if I could learn Breslev stuff, my father's against me learning it. Chazanis says there's no kibbutz out there. You can learn Breslev. Even if father says not to, you're allowed to. So he told the Rebbe, I want you to write it. He told the Chazanis, I want you to write it for me. He said, I learned rest of books. You haven't needed me to write it? Go. It's a famous story from the Chazanis. Not a rest of books.
You're
sitting on rest
of books?
Yeah.
Who is
this? Chazanis told someone. Chazanis. And also the Stipler. Stipler, when he was in Europe, he was a lot together with rest of Chazanis there. He loved rest of. And yeah. There was a famous that he has someone thinking of Kenning, and he said, came with him or something. He saw the Kutet Filos on his table. He said, I think it was the Kutet Filos. He said, oh, you're connected to Breslev. So he said, I can't.
Sachamir.
Oh, Sachamir was.
Sachamir.
He came to him, he came to Breslev. No.
He's over here, he was in Breslev, long beard.
Probably know who he is by face. Right?
Yeah, right.
Anyways.
He said that Sachamir was not so happy. About Breslev. There were a number of Breslevers in
the yeshiva. That's
and up. So, but Shtitzer came, started coming close to Breslev. He wasn't so happy about it. But anyway, so once he went to the Stipler, and the Stipler used to not waste any time. Between people coming in and out, he would put his head in the book, the Sefer. So,
he had a good set of filos.
Yitzhak Amir wanted to see what he was shtagging in, and he saw you shtagging in the good set of filos.
So he asked him to use your breastplate. He said, I can't pass one day without this. Oh, he said, there's a difference between the day that I say good set of filos and the day which I don't do the good set of filos. That's what he told him. So the Chevre told him, listen. They asked him, what? He doesn't listen to you? He said, listen, every time he comes to my house, and now I'm going to tell him that he can't be breastplate. Right? He comes in, and he brings such joy into the house that I can't say anything. I can't say anything. What am I going to say? Anyways. So, Rabbi Sazan Mentor was also part of the sorrow that many people had. And this getting close to Breslev. Because they had no idea where Breslev is. And he spoke about it many times. And he was sort of, he was giving eulogy of him. That the generation lost a gun, a doll. You know, he became Breslev. He could have been one of the Gdali Yerushalayim.
Yisachar Meir also said something about Pesach. He had a Nativa, he set up a lot of yeshivas. He said, when the breastlovers left the yeshiva, the drag of the tefillah went down.
Some say that they heard Rabbi Sazaman say, I can't believe he said it, but some say, he brings it down here, that someone brought him to Breslev, whoever was the one guy who got him to Breslev, he'll never leave the Gehenna. That's what he said, some said. So someone told this to Shmuel, and he said, he's right, but he's never going to be in Gehenna.
Yeah.
That's what Shmuel said. Anyways, years later, Rabbi Sazaman said that I thought that become breastless before. I thought that he become breastless and he won't be serving Hashem 16 hours a day like he was. And I was right. Now he serves Hashem 24 hours a day. Yeah.
I have a friend who used to see on Shabbos. He has 10 boys. Shmuel Shabbos.
Shmuel, yeah.
Yeah. And he,
three girls,
I think. They would come in. Shabbos afternoon, and he said he would bring them out. Each one was learning a different Gemara. He would check them out. I had a Maggid Shear. He ran into him at the coastal. He had a kasher seven Gemara. I don't see it. I think it was. And he started. He just asked him, and he started running off. Rishoni, Machoni, Mani.
He knew it all.
He said, "I'm in the sukkah." And I don't know when he learned it, but he finished me off. And he knew it better than I do. And he knew better than me. But he was very humble.
Very. No one knew.
He would never speak.
You met him?
Sure. He was a Sanduk from when I was a son.
Really?
And
he agreed to be a Sanduk?
No, he didn't agree.
You forced him.
No, of course.
He said on Levi Yitzchak the Talent.
Shimon Shapiro asked his son, says, "Do you have somebody for the Sanduk?" He said, "No, really, my father wasn't coming." And whatever. So he said to me, he said, "My wife's family didn't do it." So I said, "So maybe ask my father." So I asked him, and he said, "No, he says, why do you need me? Why
am I? What do you need from me?"
Yeah. So then I walked away. And you know what do I? Who am I going to tell him?
So what happened at the end?
And so then Shimon asked me, he says, "What did he say to you?" He said, "He's told." I said, "He's not interested." He said, "Why me?" You know? So he says, "Go tell me you don't have anybody else." And so I went to him and said, "Go, you don't have anybody else."
Then he agreed.
What did you tell him that
once? He doesn't have anyone else.
I didn't have anybody else.
Yeah. What language you spoke to?
I guess I spoke to Hebrew. I don't think he knew English.
He knew English.
Does he? He did?
He says here that he learned English.
He learned English to go to get the green card.
No.
No?
He learned when he was a kid. The time the British took over here, the kids were learning English a little bit.
Ah, yeah.
He said he regretted it the whole life.
I didn't know. I was at his house. First time he went to a woman, he went twice.
Twice.
He made a sweet soda.
But he came back. Really? Ah, look, we get some authentic stories here. Look at this. Come up every day. We're reading the book. Come up here. I'm excited to hear. In the munachim shalayim, in today's terms, when there's trains of planes, how do you say that?
Traffic.
Like traffic of planes going to Uman all the time, all year round, not only for Rosh Hashanah, right? And thousands of people are looking to Breslev, people are looking for Breslev and that stuff. We can't really comprehend. That's what I was telling you before. We can't comprehend the amount of lacking of understanding that caused such boost, such disgrace to what Breslev is. It's from lack of knowledge. They had no idea. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter told them, the guy who wrote the book, But when he was a kid, he was embarrassed that he's a breast liver. He was embarrassed. Yeah, he was embarrassed. They were breast liver. His father's a breast liver.
Rabbi Akiva, did you have to grow a breast liver?
Yeah. His father's a breast liver. David, David, I met a brother of Rabbi Shechter. He lives in Costa Rica. He's a sheikh, he's a mile, I don't know what he's doing there.
Also Breslin?
No, he told me he has some Breslin books. He knows a lot about Breslin very well, as far as the Breslin book.
Right.
So, top the set of a finish here. He said, Yana, Breslin will marry to guard our eyes. Guard our mouth, our nose, our cord, to purify our brain. Avaut has a CD, it's called Moach Naki. This is from the CD. We have it in English also. Clean mind or something, I don't know. Clear mind. I advise everyone to get it from downstairs and listen to it.
To get what again?
It's a CD called Moach Naki. Yeah, also, I think this is in English also.
Yeah, I think I have it. It's called a clean brain, I think.
Clean brain, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of translation of it.